thanks for every single person here and the ways that you're working in our lives. And we just pray for the deep ministry of the Holy Spirit in this time. And we just pray that you would just focus our hearts to receive from your word this morning. And so just clear away any distractions and just pray for a really deep encouragement, insight, and revelation from your word this morning. I just submit myself as your servant here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're continuing our sermon series in the book of Ephesians. And so if you could turn in your Bibles or click in your phones to Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 9. That's going to be the passage today. Ephesians 6, 1 through 9. That passage will be up on the screens, but I always remind us that it'd be good for you to see it in context, as I'll mention some things in context as well in that passage. And the title of today's sermon is Honoring God and Others. So as Christians, we believe that we are to honor God and we are to have a relationship with God. But we also believe as Christians that we are called to honor other people on this earth, that other people are also called to honor us. And so we have this vertical relationship with God to honor him, but also this horizontal relationship with others to honor others, and others are also called to honor us. And so we have to navigate these relationships, but I would say all of these are all very interconnected. And so the question that we're answering this morning and the question that the passage answers this morning is, how can we honor God in the context of earthly relationships? How can we honor God in the context of earthly relationships? And so let's read the passage first and see what God has to say to us in Ephesians 6, 1 through 9 in answering this question. Okay, Ephesians 6, 1 through 9. Let's read it out loud together. I have it up on the screen in the NIV translation. So let's read it out loud together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So I want to start with the first verse. And the first verse has a very common command in Scripture. Children, obey your parents. It's actually part of the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment calls us in this. This is first grade Sunday school. This is actually first grade public school. This is universal. I think every single person in here would agree with this, that this is a good way to live. I would say that most people, if not all people everywhere, would agree with this statement. But I want to point out that in this command that Paul issues to the Ephesian church, and God is included in the scripture for us, that there is an added phrase here who it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And I wouldn't say this morning that this added phrase makes all the difference in the meaning that Paul was trying to convey to the Ephesian church. It makes all the difference of what God is trying to convey through scripture here by adding in that phrase into this sentence. And just as a point of illustration, I wanted to use a sentence that was created by a Columbia professor. He came up with a sentence and he added one word along the way in different points, in eight different points of the sentence, and he came up with eight different meanings with this same sentence with just changing one word. So I wanted to show this to you just to make this illustration. So the word that the sentence he came up with, this Columbia professor, was, I hit him in the eye yesterday. And so he added in one word. The word was only, and he added it in different places along the way. So first he said, only I hit him in the eye yesterday. So the meaning would completely change. It would mean no one else did, only him. Then I only hit him in the eye yesterday, changes the sentence completely. I did not slap him. I hit only him in the eye yesterday. It changes the meaning of the sentence. I did not hit others. I hit him only in the eye yesterday, changes the meaning. I did not hit outside the eye. I hit him in only the eye yesterday, it completely changes the sentence, not other organs. I hit him in the only eye yesterday, changes the meaning of the sentence. He doesn't have another eye. I hit him in the eye only yesterday, again, changes the meaning, not today. And finally, I hit him in the eye yesterday only, completely changes the sentence, did not wait for today. I give us this illustration to say one word makes all the difference in a sentence placed there, placed in a different spot would even make even further of a difference. Certainly here we're seeing one phrase that's added into this universal command that Christian, non-Christian, people who believe in Jesus, people who have a problem with Jesus would all agree with that statement, but it's here, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so to this, I wanted to first look at what Jesus said about children, parents, that type of interaction and that type of authority to first build the basis of this. So the other passage that I wanted to bring us to this morning is Matthew chapter 10, 34 to 37. It's up here on the screen, so let's read it out loud together. This is Jesus' words. This is what Jesus had to say about children and parents. So let's read it out loud together. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus, what he was saying was he was taking the most, for the case of people that have families, that are parents, the most high position of authority in our lives, the parent position. And Jesus was saying to the people who are gathered together, he was saying that, listen, there is a higher authority, and that authority is God. So there's high authorities in our lives, all sorts of authorities in our lives, but there is a higher authority, and that authority being God. In light of this, in light of what Jesus said, then Paul was saying that we are to obey our earthly authorities. It would be our parents, it would be others, our bosses, our church leaders, etc., community leaders. But in obeying them, there needs to be a heart that there is someone that is above that is God. And as we obey the earthly authorities, as we honor the earthly authorities, actually our heart is that we are actually honoring, obeying, worshiping God. And so I wanted to put that as the first point. But I wanted to mention, too, that this passage right here in this particular verse, it's specifically talking about children to their parents. But Paul was making use of various examples of relationships. Last week, looked at a husband and wife. And later on in the passage, he's talking about slaves and their masters, or in our context, maybe employee and employer. And he's saying in verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. So if we have employers and people that we report to, people that we are to honor, that we are to obey, God is certainly calling us to honor and obey them in the context that they're not calling us to do something unbiblical. But in doing that, our heart is a heart of worship in honor to God, the ultimate authority. And so let me put it like this for point number one. How can we honor God in the context of earthly relationships? Point number one, in our hearts, our ultimate honor is to God. As we honor other earthly authorities, God certainly calls us to honor the authorities that are in our lives, barring that they call us to do something unbiblical. And as we do that, as we go about our lives to honor them, parents, bosses, others in our lives, we have a heart of worship to honor God. I wanted to give us an illustration here, or really an example here. And so some of you know that the NBA MVP of last year was a guy named Steph Curry from the Golden State Warriors. And he gave an acceptance speech at when he accepted the MVP award, and he gave a speech that about a one-minute segment was aired everywhere. I mean, every sports channel, ESPN, TNT, NBA TV, I'm sure lots of you saw it. There's a portion where he was honoring his father. And it was so touching. It was so emotional. It was so from the heart. He was honoring his earthly father. And this just went everywhere. And a lot of you are probably familiar with it. But there was also a point, actually, when he first walked up to the podium, that he made a statement about how, first and foremost, that he was honoring God. And so I wanted to show this clip, about 1 minute of him just honoring his father that many of you are familiar with. It was really touching piece. And then I want to show right after that the clip of him when he first walked up to the podium. That didn't make ESPN and, you know, NBA TV, but when he walked up, the first thing that he said was about honoring God, was about honoring his Lord Jesus Christ. So just take a look at this. This is his MVP acceptance speech, about a minute and a half of it in total.
You're the example of what a true professional is on and off the court. I remember a lot of your career, and to be able to follow in your footsteps, it means a lot to me. This is special. I'm really proud of, you know, what you were able to do in your career, and I don't take that for granted at all. A lot of people thought I had it easy with the Pops playing, you know, in the NBA, but I'll get to that part down the road, but it was an interesting journey, and just who you are, you made it okay for me to have a family at my age when I started it, and to know that you take care of your business, you know, you'll be all right. So thank you so much. You know, first and foremost, I have to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for blessing me with the talents to play this game, with the family to support me day in, day out. I'm his humble servant right now, and I can't say it enough how important, you know, my faith is to how I play the game and who I am. So I'm just blessed, and I'm thankful for where I am.
So I just think that Steph Curry is just a great example for us in what this passage is calling us to. It is calling us to honor our parents. For those of us in this room who have parents who are living, that we are called to honor them. I mean, it's part of the Ten Commandments. But what Paul was saying in this passage, because there is this overall call in the book of Ephesians to their life in Christ, was he was calling them to honor their parents and other relationships in their lives, but that it needed to be about worshiping God ultimately. And I wanted to say this morning that sometimes that is tough, right? That is tough at times. There's certain authorities that are in our lives. We're dealing with them. It becomes frustrating. We may not necessarily agree with them and what they're saying or what they're calling us to do. And it could be a point of aggravation and maybe even coming to disdain or bitterness in our lives. And I wanted to say this and just be real about it from the pulpit this morning about that there's times that those things happen. And it happens that way. And how are we going to navigate those times? Those times when it is not easy and it's not flowing very smoothly to honor our authorities. I mean, I just, you know, as I was preparing this message, I felt convicted myself of some of this week, and I wanted to be transparent and share a little bit of it with you just to relate, just to say, like, it is difficult at times. Some of you know that last Friday, I got rear-ended, and just the back end of my car got smashed up really good, and most likely the car will be totaled, and so this whole week, I've been dealing with insurance and calling the insurance company, et cetera, emails back and forth, et cetera, and if I could put it this way, the insurance company, in this case, is the authority. Right, they're the ones to call the shots. They're the ones to make the decisions. They're the ones to tell me what to do. And I need to comply. I need to obey, if I can put it like that. And I need to honor them. But for those of you who have been through a process of dealing with insurance, sometimes it gets very aggravating and very frustrating. Like, you know, they're asking for one thing, but then they change their mind. They ask for another thing. They say one thing, but then they decide another thing later. And sometimes it's difficult to honor them or even comply with them. And so as I was dealing with this whole situation, the phone calls and emails back and forth with the insurance company, meantime, I'm also meditating on this passage and preparing for this message, and I just really felt convicted. Am I just, you know, trying to please them or trying to honor them? Or is it that as I go through this process and that I'm called to honor them or comply with them or even to obey them, that my heart behind all of it is to honor God and it's my opportunity to worship? And I come up here to say, you know, I don't think I did it perfectly this week, but I come up here to relate to you, because I know some of us have situations of other authorities in our lives, that it is not easy, it's not smooth to comply with them, to obey them, to honor them. But would we go before our God with a heart of worship, that we know that ultimately it is God who we are obeying, who we are complying with? And this morning I wanted to lead us in a prayer at the end of this sermon. For those of us who are struggling in this, whether it's with parents or it's with a boss or it's with a church leader, with the community leader, etc., I want to lead us in a one-sentence prayer. And the prayer would be this: Father, help me to honor that authority, because I am honoring you as I honor that authority. I just want to repeat that one-sentence prayer in response to God's word. Father, help me to honor that authority, because as I honor them, I am honoring you. Let that be a reflection of your heart of worship in response to God's word this morning. And I'll lead us in that prayer at the end of this time. Now, so far in this passage, hopefully it's clear that we are certainly called in our lives to honor certain authorities that are in our lives. But what about other relationships where other people are called to honor us? How do we navigate those relationships? People who look up to us, people who follow us, people who might report to us at work, people who might that we might lead in the ministry. How are we to navigate those relationships as God calls us to it? And so I want to bring us to verse 4. Verse 4 in this passage, Ephesians 6, verse 4, says, Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now again, this passage, this verse is speaking specifically to a relationship of children and fathers, but I want to point out that the overall passage, as we looked at last week, another relationship, also later on in the passage, another relationship of slaves and masters. So certainly this passage is just illustrating our relationship with other people and just using these couple of relationships as examples. But the point that Paul was trying to get across here overall in verse 4 was that we are not able to train others if we ourselves have not been trained. If we don't have the foundation of training in our lives, in any other context, in any other way of in our lives, whether it's at our work or in school or some other thing, if we didn't receive training and instruction first, if we don't have that foundation, we're not going to be able to train others well, or maybe even at all. And if we do that, this passage is saying that, well, fathers could end up exasperating their kids, that they're not doing it in the Lord, but they are just, you know, demanding, just as a dictator, and that obviously is not going to work well. But let me put it this way for point number two. How can we honor God in the context of earthly relationships? Point number two, we ensure the foundation of God's training in our own lives so that we can influence others well. As an illustration, I wanted to mention an interaction that I had a few weeks ago. I was at a wedding a few weeks ago. Some people in this room were actually at that wedding too. And at the table, at the reception, there was another pastor who was sitting there, a pastor from Hacienda Heights. This pastor was part of a church that was going through a building project. And there's times that I drive into or through Hacienda Heights, and when I do, I pass by this person's church. And so when I'm passing by this person's church, I notice, you know, this construction project the last few months, and I see the building going up, and they're building a new sanctuary. And so I mentioned to this pastor at the reception, and I said, or I asked him a question, you know, when did you guys start this project? It seems like you guys started a few months ago. And he seemed a bit surprised and taken aback. He said, no, actually, we started more than a year ago. And I said to him, "What? But I pass by your church and I see that it's been the last few months that it's been going up." And he said, "Well, it actually took us a long time to put the pilings in and put the foundation down. And we needed to make sure that that was secure and well laid. And from that point on, everything else went out relatively quickly and easily. And that's probably why you noticed that it seemed like the project was the last few months." And I wanted to say, when it comes to our relationship with God, that it's the same thing. That we need to make sure and ensure that the foundation is right and receiving God's training in order that we will be able to train others, in order that we can influence and impact others well. But you might be here this morning and say, you know, I don't really need to hear that. I've been a Christian for a long time. You know, you went to Sunday school, you've listened to messages, you've had your quiet times. But I wanted to say this morning that there's times that we need to go to the foundation and just make sure that it is secure and make sure that our walk with God, our relationship with God is secure. and check out that foundation. I wanted to use as an example, as an illustration, a worship leader named Jeremy Riddle that I know many of you are familiar with. He writes a lot of the songs that even we sing here this morning. He comes from Bethel Music. And he certainly was a person who was trained. I'm talking about the foundation of singing now. And he was obviously, even years ago, was already having influence and even worldwide influence in the worship department. But he went through a season where he went through his kind of a serious a health situation that he realized that he needed to examine the foundation and maybe retrain a bit. So we're going to watch about, I think, a minute or a minute and a half clip of just him speaking into this about how he was trained already a long time ago and even had impact before, but then had to go back and kind of retrain in order to have even wider influence. And those of you who know more about Jeremy Riddle know that after he retrained, his influence went even further. So let's take a look. This is Jeremy Riddle speaking about his retraining.
Go to someone who understands singers. It's a different issue, okay? And I had to go all the way down to Beverly Hills. I went down to the guy who Beyonce went to, and everybody in LA goes to this guy because he's awesome and he understands singing. And it was such a relief. This one guy's like, oh, you got nodules, you got this and that, and you're out of the game. And for me, that was like my life. It was my livelihood at the time. And I was just like, I need a second opinion. So I went down to this guy in LA. He's like, you can still do this. This is what you need to do. It's about an 18-month recovery time. You need to keep your sets to about 45 minutes. If you go past 45, you're going to be in trouble. You need to take a break whenever you can within a set. You're going to find you've got more longevity if you just take a five-minute break in between a set, da-da-da. He had tons of practical wisdom for me as a singer, which was massive for me. I had to learn how to sing differently. Okay, if you listen to my first record and you listen to my last record, you'll notice a humongous difference in my voice. One was using my voice in a terrible way. They call it my Creed voice or whatever. It's Scott Stapp, whatever. Anyway, it was me being in a very throaty voice, and I've had to learn to use my voice in a much more natural way.
So we see here Jeremy Riddle having to look at the foundation and make sure that the foundation was right, and even make some adjustments to that foundation. And when he made the adjustments to that foundation or that training, or call it retraining or whatever it is, whatever it was, that's when he began to influence at an even higher level for God. I wanted to share with you one more image and one more illustration. I want to prepare you that it is gross. It is just a really gross image, but I really feel impressed this morning to share this with you, to be real with you about how I feel like that the Lord is speaking. And I want to say, not just to you, but to me as well. This message this morning is very personal to me as well. There was a word that was given at the Vineyard National Conference 4 years ago that was given to, you know, all the Vineyard pastors. And when I say Vineyard pastors, it meant that this was given to the Vineyard churches at large, so also to us. And I just been convicted by it just even these, even 4 years later, so I want to share it with you this morning. The image was of us as Christians. We are called to give the word, right? We're supposed to share with others. The Bible, Colossians 4, verse 6, even says, let our conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, because as we even converse with people, you know, the word of God should come forth, the love of Jesus should come forth, and it should minister to people. But the image that was given at the Vineyard Conference to the Vineyard churches was that the image was of hamburgers that were made with human feces. They were all wrapped up nice, just like, you know, the burgers that you would see at any burger joint, like In-N-Out or whatever, just wrapped up real nice in the packaging, but it was human feces. And it was just that we were giving these things out to people. And could it be this sometimes in our lives? Because God has called us to influence, right? He has called us to be the salt and light of the earth. But could it be that sometimes the people that we would interact with at work or our neighbors, etc., that what God has called us to is to minister to them, to speak the truth to them, to love on them, to speak the words of God to them, to speak the gospel message to them, to share with them the good news, to share with them a word of encouragement, to share with them a word that we get in prayer for them, an image that comes from God to them, a scripture passage that God impresses upon us. And there's people all around us that are needing God's word from us. But it could it be that the foundation in our lives is a little bit shaky, that we need to examine it, because what we have been giving to them maybe is something that's wrapped up really nice, that we're not offending them. They don't even know anything better, but it's really a hamburger that's wrapped up really nice, but we're feeding them human feces because we don't have it ourselves. We haven't received the training and the instruction of the Lord ourselves, that the foundation is there, that when we begin to just speak to people, that's what comes forth. Please don't hear me condemning you this morning, because I honestly, 4 years ago up to now, I feel convicted by that myself. But I want to issue us a challenge this morning. I issue this challenge to myself as well. If you're here this morning, and it's two challenges, so this first one. If you're here this morning and you would say, when we're talking about relating with God, that it's been sparse, sporadic to spend the time with God. I mean, Christianity is a relationship with God. And if we aren't spending time with God, there's no opportunity for him to train us. There's no opportunity for God to give us his instruction. And if you're here this morning and it's been just far and few between and it's been sporadic, and you would say this morning, I haven't really been spending time with God, I just want to issue you a challenge this morning. Not to feed these human feces hamburgers to people, but in the next 24 hours, that you would carve out 15 minutes to spend with God. What that time would look like, I mean, that's between you and God. Is it reading scripture? Is it prayer? Is it worship? Is it a meditation on God's word? Is it whatever it might be? But that you would say this morning that in the next 24 hours, I'm going to carve out 15 minutes, uninterrupted time. I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm not going to go check my email. It's me and God. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to let him train me. I'm going to receive of his instruction. I'm going to examine the foundation and make sure the foundation is right. I'm going to let God minister to that foundation so that I can be able to have the conversation with people that's full of grace, that's seasoned with salt. That's my first challenge to us this morning. Second challenge is, there are some of us here would say, yeah, no, I spend my time with God. You know, I spend time with God. I have regular devotions, etc. I want to issue you this challenge, and I'm issuing this challenge to myself too. Would you, in the next 24 hours, spend an extra 15 minutes with God? That being the statement to God, God, I need you more. God, I need to examine that foundation. God, I need more training and more instruction. I need you to pour more of you into my life, so that I can go forth into this world and whoever I meet and give them the good food that's seasoned with salt. An extra 15 minutes with God in the next 24 hours is my challenge to you. Can we bow in a word of prayer? I want to lead us to respond to God's word this morning. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Make this a personal moment, because I'm going to ask for some personal responses. First thing, we've been talking about a relationship with God. Some of us here don't have a relationship with God, or are not sure that we have a relationship with God. And I want to give an opportunity at this point for us to make sure that we have a relationship with God. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Are you here this morning that you would say you don't have a relationship with God, or you are not sure that you have a relationship with God, but you desire to make sure today that you have a relationship with God? I would like to pray with you this morning. So all eyes closed, heads bowed. Would you just put your hand all the way up and then down if that's you and you want to make sure that you have a relationship with God? I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now. Can I ask all of us to pray this prayer together so that the ones who raise their hands are not praying on their own? So we'll just all out loud pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. I confess my sins to you. I pray that you would forgive me. Thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for me, to rise again, that I might have new life. I open up my heart to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, to to have a relationship with me. In Jesus' name. Just keep your eyes closed and heads bowed. Two more pieces of response. Some of us this morning, this passage is very applicable because we've been struggling with honoring certain authorities. Again, parents, bosses, community leaders, church leaders. And it's been a process, it's been a journey, it's been frustrating, aggravating, maybe even. But we know God calls us to that. Again, I just want to insert the disclaimer, not if they call us to do things that are unbiblical, but otherwise, we are called to honor them and to obey them. And you might be here, it's been a struggle. And so again, this one-sentence prayer is going to be, Father, help me to honor these authorities because I honor you as I honor them. I just want to repeat it one more time. This is a prayer. Father, please help me to honor these authorities because I honor you as I honor them. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Would you put your hand all the way up and then down if you are desiring to pray that prayer this morning in response to God's word. Just all the way up and then down. I'm going to pray that one sentence. If you raise your hand, just pray that in your heart in response to God's word this morning. Father, please help us to honor these earthly authorities because we know that your word says that we are honoring you as we honor them. I want to issue that challenge to us this morning. I just want to categorize it into those two groups. So the first group, that you would say, yeah, I haven't been spending time with God, and I need God's training and instruction. And I commit that in the next 24 hours, that I'm going to carve out 15 minutes to spend with God, to allow him to train me and to instruct me. Would you put your hand all the way up and then down if you're making that commitment to God? Father, we just come before you, lots of us making this commitment this morning. And we just pray that, Lord, that you would help us in the next 24 hours, that those times with you would be deep, meaningful, powerful. Pray that you would illuminate your word to us in those times. We pray that you would eliminate distractions. We pray that there wouldn't be any unforeseen phone calls or whatever else that could come our way, but that we would just be real tuned in to your presence and to your ministry, that you would just fix or patch up the foundation of your training and your instruction, that we would be able to have our conversations with people full of grace and seasoned with salt. I just want to ask, is there anyone here that for the second commitment that you have been spending time with God, but that you would give God an extra 15 minutes? See, I'm going to give you an extra 15 minutes in my quiet times. I'm going to carve out that extra 15 minutes because I need even more of you in my life. Would you put your hand all the way up and then down? And I'd just like to pray together with you. Father, we pray that for those extra 15 minutes that we spend with you. Thanks for all this commitment, this plan along the way of spending the time with you. But we pray now also for this additional 15 minutes. Lord, just help us even more. We want to be a church that just goes forth and is able to influence and minister to others in the power of your word, in the power of your gospel. So we give you ourselves and we give you those times. Can I ask the worship team if you can come forward at this time? Prayer team, you can come forward at this time as well. And we're just going to respond to God in two more songs of worship. And this first song, just about looking to God. And that's what it really is about, right? That's really what the gospel message is about. It's really what we need to do as we want to be trained and equipped in God, is to look to him. And so let your heart reflect that as we close out our service. So go ahead and stand, and we're going to worship the Lord together. Our prayer team is going to be up here to pray. We had a couple of words this morning to share. One of them was just about healing of headaches. If you have a headache, that's the word that we got this morning when we prayed together, that God's healing is here for that this morning. So Father, we just come before you. We just pray that our hearts could be focused upon you. We We look to you. We look to you, Lord, for your strength. We look to you for your healing, for your breakthrough. In Jesus' name, amen.